Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on August 30th. Coming up today, we'll hear from the Chatham and Aylesford MP about the approval of a controversial 450-home development. And the Jules manager, Mark Bonner, has been telling us how the squad are feeling in the lead-up to this weekend's match with Chesterfield. But first, taking a look at our top story today, the owner of a Folkestone cafe, which only opened 3 weeks ago, says they may already be forced to close. Sonia Pace runs the Trinity Wellness Hub and says, while the much-hyped harbour arm is bustling, parts of the town centre are struggling. Other shop owners say they feel forgotten about and separate from the busy seafront. Council say they've been hosting events to boost the town centre footfall, such as this summer's food festival. Other top stories today, a 16-year-old boy is due in court following reports of a sex attack in Medway. A woman told police she was threatened and assaulted while walking in Great Lines Heritage Park last Tuesday. The teenager was arrested in Sheerness and has now been charged with attempted rape. A Gravesend drug driver has been banned for a year after getting behind the wheel while being nearly five times the legal limit. Billy Jones was under the influence of cocaine when he was pulled over by police on Thistle Road in February. He was also driving without insurance, as well as the ban. The 26-year-old who lives on Ingoldsby Road has been ordered to pay more than £400 in costs. Two boys out litter picking in a Faversham playground have discovered a 40-centimetre long zombie knife. The 8 and 9-year-olds were in Lower Road on Sunday when they found the weapon under a bush. Police were called and collected the knife. They're due to be outlawed on September 24th.
Kent Online News.
Four people have been taken to hospital following a multi-vehicle crash near Herne Bay. Emergency crews were called to Whitstable Road at about 1:30 yesterday. Seven people were treated by paramedics. It's believed three cars were involved. Investigations are ongoing. Elsewhere, a man in his 50s has been arrested on suspicion of drug driving after a crash in Maidstone. Two vehicles collided on Upper Stone Street yesterday afternoon. One person was taken to hospital for treatment. Controversial plans for a 450-home development on farmland in Medway have been approved. The project at Gibraltar Farm in Hempstead also includes a nursery and a retail unit. The proposals raised concerns about a loss of green space and the impact on traffic and infrastructure. Labour MP for Chatham and Aylesford, Tris Osborne, says the committee's hands were tied.
I'm really disappointed. As has been said, over 700 people wrote to object. MPs locally objected, and the community itself, I think, is very concerned about this. However, my colleagues were left in a very, very difficult situation. Twice, this council has rejected local plans under the Conservatives. Had they delivered their local plans, Capstone Valley would be safeguarded, in my view. That is the reason why we're here tonight. And you heard that at the planning committee from the chairman. Had we had a local plan in place, Capstone Valley could have been looked at. And I'm afraid this is now the outcome of a council that doesn't have an up-to-date local plan.
Further details like the layout and design of the homes will be decided at a later date. Gabriel Morris from our colleagues at KMTV has also been chatting to Conservative councillor Andrew Lawrence.
I'm obviously disappointed, but look, I understand the reality of the situation. The council can't afford any more big legal fights. This has been to appeal on a lot of occasions. I think the reality is now is to minimise the impact of the development onto the residents of Hempstead and Widmore, who I represent.
What's next then?
I think we just have to monitor it. I'm very interested. I understand that a proposal may go to Cabinet fairly shortly. I think the reality of these type of applications is they're very complex. It will probably be, I don't know, a year, 18 months, even 2 years before the developer can actually start building houses. And to be frank, the way the Labour Party are managing the economy, I don't think there will be an economy to sell houses in. So, you know, maybe this will be kicked down the long, you know, for some years ahead.
Would we be here tonight if there was already a local plan in place?
Look, undoubtedly, others will. Yeah. It's a difficult one. I'm not here to criticise the previous administration. I think there were some strategic errors made on the local plan. I think the previous administration should have forced the local plan for a vote and taken the, you know, just taken it. Yeah, we have suffered from a lack of a local plan. I can't deny it. The issue of local plan has caused lots of issues, and we have to own that.
Do you support the local plan which has been proposed by the Labour administration?
Look, I mean, we're working, we've offered to work constructively with the Labour administration. We're still in the Regulation 18. We're very interested in the allocation of properties. As I said in my submission tonight. I'm really worried about the creeping urbanisation that will go right up to the edge of the ANOB, and it will fundamentally change the characteristic of Hempstead and Wigmore.
In other news, plans for 132 new homes on farmland near Dymchurch have been approved on appeal. Council rejected the proposal for High Knock Farm for being unacceptably harmful to the area. Despite more than 100 objections, the planning inspectorate has now given it the go-ahead, saying there will be no significant impacts. And plans have been submitted to build 360 homes in a new development in Tunbridge Wells. The site at St Mark's Recreation Ground in Frant Road would also include a care home and a nursery. If approved, construction would start at the site in 2025 and the proposed development would be fully operational by 2030.
Kent Online News.
A mum's been left devastated after flowers left in a tribute to her son in Herne Bay was stolen. A memorial was set up on Bullockstone Road following the death of 32-year-old Lee Harlow in 2021. Artificial roses were taken from the site earlier this week. Changes have been brought in at Maidstone Leisure Centre after parents made complaints about SEN sessions. The venue announced the quieter periods would run from 8am until 9am on two dates in August, but it outraged those who said they'd never be able to make it for that time. The centre has now also included sessions from 5:30pm until 7pm on the last Friday of every month. Data has revealed the top 20 roads in Kent for speeding. Police have issued £7 million worth of fines in the last year alone, with more than 34,000 drivers getting caught. The two worst areas are on the M25, followed by the A229 at Boxley. You can see the full list at Kent Online. Now, as children get ready to go back to school next week, a salon in Medway is offering free haircuts to help with the cost of living crisis. New research has found more than a third of parents will struggle to pay for things like uniform and stationery. Oliver from our colleagues at KMTV has been speaking to Sarah A. Yomaki, who runs Code Red Salon on the Horsted Park estate.
I home educate my youngest daughter. So remembering what it was like to be able to afford everything going back to school. Obviously, I can do their hair myself, but all the rest of it, buying PE kits and new uniforms and everything that goes with it. So I just thought if I can alleviate a little bit of pressure, I can do a few haircuts.
Because you hear that, don't you? It's always so expensive this time of year. You come off the holidays and you're buying the uniform, you're getting all the little like pencils and notepads and whatever people need for school. What have the clients you've spoken to today been telling you when they've brought their children in here? What have they been saying to you about their struggles?
Honestly, on the most part, we've spoken more about the environment of getting haircuts. So I opened this first session to the people of Club Awesome, which is a local charity you may have heard of for kids on the spectrum. So their main struggle is just finding a salon that's peaceful enough for their kids to feel comfortable and come in. So we haven't really had much conversations around the costs of everything. They've just been grateful that their kids have been happy enough to just sort of sit and get the haircut.
So is this the first time that you've done an event like this, or are you almost old hat at this at like these sorts of community aid events, kind of getting people ready for the school term, or is this like a fresh experience for you?
It's the first time I've offered free haircuts for going back to school. Yeah, but I do try and do as much as I can for the community. So my main thing here is I train a lot. So I have a lot of the girls from college and from the schools coming in. And my main mission is to try and train as many young people for free as I can. So I've had a lot of help over the years from all sorts of different directions. And it's just an opportunity for me. I see young people are struggling a lot. So wherever I can do something to try and help them out, I do.
So, okay, obviously it is that thing of giving back. Why do you think it's so important to kind of give back to the community? And what is quite a difficult time with costs rising and people really struggling to kind of get the support they need? Why is it so important for you to help them out?
Well, exactly that. There's too many people just taking at the moment, I think, and we don't have bottomless pockets. So if you have an opportunity to be able to do something, however big or small that is, there's not much I am able to do to help people, but I can cut hair, so that's what I offer.
And you saw this just then, the parents are so grateful for what you offered. Like, how did it make you feel when you see the parents, see the children so happy with their haircuts? Like, it must feel pretty good, right?
Yeah, definitely. I've had a couple of young people in today that haven't had haircuts as yet. It's been their first time, or in a salon at least. Mum and Dad have been trying to cope at home. So it's nice for them to be able to come in and experience having a professional service done and to leave smiling. So that's an achievement for me, if they're not crying.
Sarah mentioned how they're running sessions for children with additional needs. Kelly Milano is from Club Awesome and says it's been a huge help.
Yes, so Sarah, who runs the salon at Code Red, she's a good friend of mine. I've been going there for a long time now, and she does my hair. And we were just sitting there talking about, you know, what we could do to make things a little bit easier for lots of our families. You know, there's a return to school. You can imagine for all the children out there, you know, and mums, dads, everywhere. It's a very anxious time. And children are already struggling, you know, so let's see if we can relieve some pressure. And then suddenly, like Sarah had the idea of being able to offer some haircuts for children in the salon while it's quiet. You know, she wouldn't charge a penny, and she could do it in an atmosphere that was very relaxing, and, you know, it's quiet. It's not overstimulation. It's not, people aren't in and out. It's quite, you know, it's just a nice place to be. And she's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant with understanding the needs of people that are neurodivergent.
Obviously, it is like that thing where it's like you come back to school and already there's all that anxiety around the bills, around the uniform, and then it's like an additional strain, the haircut. And it's always, and especially with some people with neurodivergence, it can be quite like a challenging process. Is that something that you kind of hear about quite a bit, like people that families you work with are struggling at the moment in the lead up to school, be able to afford like clothing, but to afford the things that their children need?
So lots of our families they're carers of the, you know, the adults are carers of their children. And cost of living is hard enough, as it is even when you're a working family. So, you know, you've got the uniform cost, specific uniform. It is always more expensive when you're catering for a child with, you know, special sensory needs. You know, you have to get the seamless socks, and they charge a fortune for those. We can't just pop down to Primark, you know, and grab anything. So the fact that we can lessen the burden a little bit, you know, between us and do something nice, I think it can only help.
The final session for free haircuts is on Tuesday, the 3rd of September.
Kent Online News.
Firefighters have spent several hours tackling a blaze involving hay bales near Gravesend. It broke out on Church Road in Cobham yesterday lunchtime, and people were still being told to avoid the area this morning. Crews said they were making good progress to extinguish the fire. Bosses in Ashford say there's still no timeline for when a closed car park with a crumbling roof will reopen. The 300-space Park Mall car park has been shut since April, and attempts to remove stalactites from the ceiling have been unsuccessful. Council now say they're considering removing the first story altogether to create one ground-level open-air facility. A fundraising page has been set up to help cover the cost of two Shaun the Sheep statues that were vandalised in Maidstone. They're part of an art trail and were due to be auctioned off to raise money for the Heart of Kent Hospice. Hundreds of pounds has been donated by the community to try and restore the lost funds. And now, with a look at the events and activities in Kent this weekend, here's our What's On editor, Sam Laurie.
You made it. It's the last weekend of the school holidays. Well done. If you've just spent 6 weeks with the kids bouncing off the walls at home, congratulations for making it to the end. If you've just enjoyed 6 weeks of kid-free sunshine, well, I think it's about time you got a round in for your parent friends. But don't worry, this weekend there are plenty of places where you can do just that, starting with the Faversham Hop Festival. The annual Weekender is one of the biggest beer festivals in Kent, and we'll see hundreds of musicians, Morris dancers and street entertainers take to the market town. There will be outdoor stages and pub gigs, parades and funfair rides, pop-up bars and food stalls, and plenty of pints being poured by Faversham's very own Shepherd Neame Brewery. It's completely free to enter and takes place on Saturday and Sunday, but if you're in town tonight, you can probably catch a few early gigs at some of the town's pubs. And that's not the only festival where you can get a decent drink this weekend. The Deal Food and Drink Festival is at Deal Castle until Sunday, where you can find lots of local produce, street food and real ale. And on Saturday and Sunday, the Tunbridge Food and Drink Festival is back for its 11th year, this time at the Racecourse Sports Ground, with some tasty treats, and don't forget to catch the Dragon Boat Race on the river on Sunday. Now, for those of you who aren't quite ready to let the summer go just yet, and I can't say I blame you, there's a brilliant outdoor concert at our favourite fairground-turned-music venue, Dreamland. The Margate stage will welcome pop star Becky Hill, who is performing her dance floor anthems on Saturday and Sunday. The Saturday date is all sold out, but there are still a few tickets left for Sunday if you're quick. If you're after something to do with the family, Immersion Theatre will be bringing their fun production of Peter Pan to the grounds of Canterbury Cathedral on Saturday. And for the little ones, the live stage version of children's TV show In the Night Garden is at the Churchill Theatre on Saturday and Sunday, bringing characters to life with puppets, music and colourful costumes. And finally, just looking ahead a couple of days, theatre lovers will want to book their tickets for A Chorus Line, which opens at Canterbury's Marlowe Theatre from Monday. The Razzle Dazzle show follows a group of hopeful dancers as they audition for an upcoming Broadway musical, but of the 17 potentials, only 8 of them will make the cut. It features classic numbers like One, I Hope I Guess It and What I Did for Love, and is a peek behind the curtain at the dog-eat-dog world of show business. So whether you're going to be having a drink, a dance or a day out this weekend, I hope you have a fabulous couple of days.
Thanks, Sam.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and Gillingham are back in League 2 action tomorrow with a match against Chesterfield. After 3 games, the Gills are sitting top of the table. They'll be looking to keep the good run of form going tomorrow at Priestfield. Here's manager Mark Bonner.
Firstly, I think we're really happy to be back here. It seems like ages since we played at home, just like a long couple of weeks, and unusual to probably have had to do what we've done back to back to back, really, with the 3 games. So, really happy to be back. Can't wait for probably just backing up the atmosphere and feeling that again. And I think, I hope that after the start we've had and the first game that we had here, there'll be real good numbers in the stadium and a lovely energy. Should be a nice day. Two really good teams having a go against each other, really. I think I've been so impressed with Chesterfield. I mean, they obviously romped the league last year. Brilliant. Deservedly back in the league. You know, a tough couple of years, but got some really good players in that level last year in terms of signing EFL players. Brilliant manager, really experienced. So no real surprises that they're really well fancied this season. And they've added well. And I think they're in a cycle where they've developed a style in a way as a team and had a period of success together where early on in the season that momentum just carries you through. And they've had a couple of games that they're probably disappointed they haven't won because they've been quite dominant in. And they obviously had an outstanding result away at Crewe as well. So, yeah, they're looking very strong. We're very competitive against Derby in the Carabao Cup. Lots of good players. Paddy Madden back or close to returning. So, yeah, they're looking strong. Very good possession team, statistically very high. And they'll cause us lots of problems, I think, with our defensive structure. So how well we play against the ball will be massive. And how well we use the ball is really important as well, because we've spent too long without it in a couple of games. And we've got to try and get better at having control of the ball ourselves and use that a little bit better. So nice challenge for us. It's given us a good chance this week to do a little bit of work on that and trying to get that balance in a week like this where you can practice a bit but also accept the fact that the numbers have been fairly low in terms of number of bodies available, and use this week and be fresh going into the game and not feeling the effects of travelling around the world for a couple of weeks. We hope that benefits us. So we tried to get a balance this week of doing the right amount of work versus the right amount of recharge. And we'll see if that works or not.
Our sports reporter Luke Cordell has also been chatting to Gillingham midfielder Armani Little. He joined in the early summer after turning down a new deal at AFC Wimbledon.
Going into at the start of the season, I think everyone's heads is on going up. That's the aim. But at the same time, you can't put the pressure on it. And we know we got to keep it within ourselves and not be shouting it about everywhere. So I just think, as a group, we know what we want to get done this season.
You mentioned the injury you had in the summer. It must have been tough, was it? Because I think you played against Millwall and did well, and then to have had that sort of setback, that must have been quite frustrating.
Yeah, no, it was really frustrating. I was feeling fit the first 2-3 weeks, and like I said, I played 45 minutes against Millwall. And when you get an injury, it sort of puts you behind them, so you're playing a lot of catch-up. But yeah, no, but I'm someone that works hard and gets my head down, so I needed to. I had a focus on getting back for the first game of the season, and luckily I did that.
Did the manager, like I said, was surprised that you lasted so long as well in that match? It was a hard going game, was it for you?
Yeah, no, it was. I think the first half I was blown a bit, to be honest, and it was a hot day too. But I think as the game went on, I felt better, surprisingly. So, but then with the adrenaline and we're winning 4-1, it's always gets you through.
When you've got the start of the season there to aim for, I suppose that's a good focus for you, is it, when you're trying to get ready?
Yeah, I sort of knew the timescale of what it could be. Like the best result was getting back for that game, so I just got my head down and just focused on that, really.
Did you miss some of the hard yards then over pre-season, or were you having to play catch?
To be fair, the first 2 weeks was most of the running, the first 2-3 weeks, so I had to do that. But then it was good because I had that in the bank already, so I didn't miss too much with the running, it was just more of the games that I missed.
Are you back on level par with the rest of the squad now, do you think?
I think I'm getting there, yeah, for myself personally. I think I'm near enough there. But I'm getting that fitness in the actual game, so it's good for me, but it's also difficult because that first game was probably a bit rusty, a bit of sharpness, but yeah, getting back there now.
The manager's handed you a bit of responsibility as well this season, hasn't he, with the vice captaincy, I believe?
How's
that feel for you?
Yeah, no, it's good. Obviously, the gaffer, he wants everyone to be a captain in their own way,
yeah.
Whether it's talking or leading by example, and I think we should all be like that, and I think this team needs to speak more, to be honest, all of us. So I think, yeah, it's no different to how we play. Just gives me a bit more responsibility when needed.
Kickoff tomorrow is at 12:30. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.